Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Thank you for joining us this evening. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. And Tom Gould, unfortunately, couldn't be here tonight, but he will be back for next month's show. And tonight we're going to be talking about reincarnation, but specifically, what is the purpose of spirits having a human experience? We've heard it said often, you know, that we're spirits having this human experience, but and when we talk about this, I mean, we've talked about reincarnation, but recently, about a month or so ago, you know, we sent out an email to membership and we asked people to suggest topics for this show, for the gathering, which turned into quite a number of questions that people asked. But it seemed that the majority involved souls and reincarnation and past lives. So we thought that we'd devote, you know, another show to that because so many people, you know, wanted to hear it. Of course, when we're talking about the purpose, what is the purpose of spirits having a human experience, we're not talking about scientific data. Obviously, it's more of a philosophical discussion. If we're talking about souls themselves, I mean, and if we can use another term for souls or consciousness, and we could cite people's experiences that they have, and also the research and things such as deathbed visions, and you know, people being with loved ones as they pass, and seeing apparitions, and seeing auras, and seeing silver cords, and all the different phenomena that go along with it. But when we're talking about our purpose, and it's important because purpose is very similar to meaning, you know. So, and that's a question that everybody wants to know: why are we here? Why, if there is a reincarnation, why do we choose to come back in this physical body? And I know in past shows we've talked about, you know, whether there's a choice. So, I would say the good place to start is purpose. Do you think? Then I'll just throw it out. Do you think that we all have a mission? That's what we hear so often from many, many people, is that when we talk about a soul purpose, we are here for a specific reason. And our lives are guided upon that and based upon our past lives determines what our mission is here. That's something that you subscribe to, Melissa?
I think so. In a way, it's so hard to wrap my mind around it. So many people have talked about their past lives, being royalty, ancient Egypt, and recently, I was going to share this during a previous show when something crossed my mind. I don't have any inkling of a previous life, my own self, but there was something recently where I was remembering something that I was eating, and the thing I was eating seemed like it must have been from ancient times. And I wasn't even eating it. I was just recalling eating something. It was bar-like. It was thin. It was hard. It had ridges in it.
Where were you seeing this?
In my mind.
Okay. That's a good answer.
And I was just, maybe it was a flavor, a reminiscent flavor, and all I could think was, wow, this must have been something I ate in a previous lifetime. And I had to only go back to, like, in my head, ancient Egypt, not even, like, Native Americans, because of the oddness of it. It wasn't like a grain or something I would picture Native Americans eating. It was about an inch wide, long, thin, with ridges.
How might this tie into, does it have any meaning to you, or is that...
It makes me question things.
Right.
I haven't really questioned it. I've heard other people speak of being told about past life experiences, and I listen with interest. I don't think there's any way to prove it, so I just listen with interest, although we did have a gentleman involved with the organization who did research on his military days, I think Revolutionary War, Civil War, and he actually came up with a name, a place. I'm going on a little too long to your question.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly, I mean, the evidence is there, you know, for reincarnation. We've discussed that, you know, Jim Tucker and Ian Stevenson and a great deal of work. But focusing on, you know, meaning and purpose, so if we move into the spirit realm after we die, there is reincarnation, there's a life between lives. So what do you think goes on there? Do you think that at that time we are, it's a process where we're learning and we're formulating how and when to come back? You know,
just the fact that it exists, or we believe it exists, shows that we don't die and then come right back. That there's something that goes on, because we have no time on the other side. So it's not linear what goes on, but something goes on in between those incarnations. Almost like, you know, when you finish doing work at your desk, you have to file the papers, you know, and that takes time before you can go on to your next task.
Right. But how do you think that the decision is arrived at, you know, of when is the right time to come back?
And that may be what's going on in between, right, is deciding when is the right time, waiting for that opportune moment for that child to be born so that you can come in as that soul. You may have decided way ahead of time that you're going to be your own grandchild, right? So now you got to wait.
Do you think there's, are you thinking it's personal that when you say, how do you decide, you or higher counsel?
I think that there has to be a collaboration, you know, you and other entities, you know, in the spirit world. I would think that some more enlightened than you are, you know, that can help you and guide you to, okay, you really need to learn some more compassion, you know. And so what would be a good way to come back? Well, then you have to decide on which body to come back in that would help you fulfill that mission. I mean, there would be a specific body that would help you, you know, for instance, and it could be not only a body, but a geography, you know, maybe you needed to be in some region and, you know, where. So, I mean, there's quite a lot, I think, that goes into it. There are instances where, I know Fran mentioned that, you know, you don't come back right away, and I think the research in reincarnation shows that the average is not as long as you think. You know, it's I think the average I read was something like 18 months or
for the documented cases.
Right.
So you know, that may change the results too, because there may be a certain attachment that goes on with the cases that are willing to be documented.
Yeah, I also read in one of the cases recently, before we go to a break, that the a person who died, it was a reincarnation case, right after they died, saw a woman and said, and picked that woman to be his mother in his new life, and she was actually pregnant at the time, and that his soul, his consciousness, moved into that fetus. And that was, in our linear time, that was only instantly, you know, she was probably due in a month or two, and he went right in. So we could talk a little bit more about that when we come back. So stay with us. We're going to go to a break, and we come back. We're going to talk about our purpose of spirits having a human experience, and we'll get to some questions, you know, that people have sent in about it.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Many people, just like you, hope that we continue to another existence after we die. It's a nice thought, but could it really be true? The answer is yes. There is an overwhelming amount of scientific evidence that tells us this is so. On July 29th, come hear medical doctor and university professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parasetti as he shares a visual presentation of the life after death evidence at Long Island University in Brookville, New York. Dr. Parasetti, also a noted psychotherapist and bereavement specialist, and former humanitarian advisor to the United Nations, can show you how to turn simple hope into deep knowing. He will be joined in the second part of the evening by certified medium Laura Lynn Jackson, who will demonstrate spirit communication as further evidence of an afterlife. Advanced reservations are only $15 for members and $20 for non-members. For reservations and information, visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call 631-425-7707. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Like to remind everybody that they can financially support the work of Forever Family Foundation, a 100% volunteer organization, without sending us any money at all. When shopping on the internet, just think of us before you go to Amazon, and instead go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and use our Amazon link to get to Amazon. And if you add that one simple step to your shopping, a dollar percentage of everything that goes into your shopping cart will generate a donation from Amazon to us. But you ask, so what if I don't shop on Amazon? well, this is not a problem because there's another way to be certain that almost all your website shopping will produce a donation to Forever Family Foundation without you having to send us any money. Visit iGive.com. Sign up. It's free. Name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. And just like with Amazon, a portion of your spending results in a donation to Forever Family Foundation. Once you set it up, each time you shop on the internet, iGive.com will automatically send us a donation when you shop in one of their more than 1,400 online stores that you're probably already shopping in, like the Apple Store or Big Dogs, Gap, Hanes, TurboTax, or even Victoria's Secret. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our annual grief retreat is set for the weekend of July 25th through 27th. We're back at the wonderful guest house in Chester, Connecticut. We've also added a day on just for parents who have lost children. Details are all up on the website, and it is a very special weekend of a small group of like-minded people sharing a very special journey. So if you want to be a part of this, make your arrangements now. You do not want to miss out on this meaningful experience. And if you'd like to save money, we can put you into a double or triple with other attendees of the same gender. Reservations can be made via the event page on our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And currently, there are only 15 spots left, so you're going to have to hurry. On July 29th at Long Island University, we will host Dr. Piero Calvi Parasetti as he delivers a presentation on the current evidence of an afterlife called The Afterlife, A Scientist's View. He'll be followed by a demonstration of spirit communication for those in attendance by Forever Family Foundation certified medium Laura Lynn Jackson. And lastly, please save the date. The week of November 6th through 11th is our annual afterlife conference and convention. This will be a big one, and you don't want to miss out on all the pomp and circumstance. Website registration for early birds will be set up in a few days. Volunteers around the world have been coming in to work on this big event in Durham, North Carolina, and it features activities at the Rhine Research Center, so be prepared. And lastly, if you're a business interested in advertising on our show, contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Okay, Bob, back to you.
Okay, and we're discussing reincarnation. What's the purpose of spirits having a human experience? We're trying to learn and discuss what purpose and meaning means. You know, why do we reincarnate? And we'd like to take our, we'd like to hear what you have to say, because quite frankly, you know about as much about this topic as we do, and maybe more. So, do we have a caller now?
I think we have a caller on line three.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi, welcome to the gathering.
Thank you. I think I can hear myself. Yes, I hear me. Okay. I'm not reverbing anymore. I was hearing an echo, so.
Okay.
I had an interesting experience. My very first reading that I ever had, I was very cautious about readings because I had spiritual experiences in the past, so were not pleasant. And my father, who I never met, came through and shared with the medium that I was incarnated from another world, that I was a starseed.
Wow.
Which was very interesting. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
that was my first communication with my real father.
Well, it's always interesting, and it's not, you know, the first time I've heard, a medium say that. The only problem in a medium reading is that information, although interesting, you know, can't be verified, you know. So it's not, you know, like a fact that we can check. But you also wonder, how do the mediums know that in this case it was your father that was communicating. So that would indicate that your father on the other side has this knowledge about people's past lives, which is interesting in and of itself. So I guess the question would be, would those in the spirit world have access to that information?
But I just have a question. Did you not say that you never met your father?
I never met my father. He had left when I was about 6 weeks old.
So the meeting.
I actually was not even sitting down to talk to anyone. The medium was also a medical intuitive, and I was more so looking for answers there. And my father came through immediately.
But she wasn't able to provide you with any evidence, and I'm talking about actual evidence, like the way we would do it when we do our medium certification program, evidence that shows you that it actually is your father.
Well, other than he was, I'm getting feedback here. Other than he was telling the medium my entire life, like he had been watching me my entire life, and was telling him things that there was no way that people could know that about me. And so that, to me, was confirmation that it was, you know, there was somebody on the other side that knew what my life was all about.
Right. Well, that would be, as long as the evidence came, that would that's wonderful. So now I take it you're a believer in reincarnation. What about, do you think that we have a purpose in this physical life?
I do believe that we write out a script for ourselves before we even come here on what we want to work on, our spiritual lessons and things that we want to overcome to become more enlightened. I do believe that.
Mm. So you think possibly one of our jobs, if so to speak, here is to uncover what our true purpose is?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That makes sense. Well, thanks so much for sharing. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. So, you know,
That's cool that she got evidence that she was able to verify that it was him, even though she never met him. Well, she was, how old? 6 weeks?
She's 6 weeks?
Yeah.
I'm glad she cleared that up, though, because that is extremely important.
Yeah, to listeners saying, oh, well, let me run over to any kind of, you know, that's part of the philosophy we have here is that there are too many people out there professing to be mediums and they're not. Mm-hmm. And then they do all kinds of things that they charge people for. Let me tell you who your spirit guide is. Let me tell you what color your aura is, you know, and this will cost you $20. And here's the candle that costs you $600 to get rid of the evil stuff in your house. So you really do have to be careful when you go to a medium. So it was good that she was able to validate that it was her dad.
I think so. And what we were speaking about earlier, being aware of past lives, imagine a medium flattering you with telling you about your exotic life and how you saved the nation and things like that.
Yeah, wouldn't you go back to that medium again?
Sure.
Yeah. We had one listener wrote in, she had a question, which was, when does a soul get assigned to a body? So, you know, and then she refers that, you know, there are babies that pass in utero. So I guess she's... that's a question that I would imagine that a lot of, especially mothers who have lost children either very, very soon after they were born or in utero, have these burning questions, similar to everybody else. I mean, you know, did they have a soul, and did they fulfill their purpose, and are they happy and well, you know, where they are? So I guess the first part of that, when does a soul get assigned to a body, what do you think?
Well, I'd have to turn the whole thing around in my logical thinking and ask, is there purpose in us experiencing grief? Because if the answer is yes for our existence here, then experiencing grief through the birth of a baby that you've carried for a week, 2 weeks, 6 months, 9 months, whatever it was, and then the baby passes, is still grief, and it's still painful, and it's still something that you have to work through. So if we're all connected, and the soul's purpose is to provide an incarnation where you take part in something, then it makes sense to me that an unborn baby definitely has a soul.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people think, so we come into this world and we have a clean slate, right? So, you know, we start as, you know, pure light, so to speak, and we move on from there. But actually, we don't have a clean slate. Our slate is a conglomeration of
it's muddied already.
We are what we have been. I don't know. Could be, depending on what you believe, one reincarnation or 10 or 100 or 1,000, and all of these soul fragments are together. So we're anything but a clean slate.
What about if it's clean in a certain regard, such as emotions, emotional experiences? Because when we hear from mediums and people's accounts from mediums connecting with our loved ones, I feel that the only emotion that comes through from our loved ones, our deceased loved ones, is love. Otherwise, I feel it's rather emotionless. They recognize that we're sad, but they're not sad. They recognize we might be angry, but they're not angry. They only express love, and that's it. So when this new child reincarnates, because I'm assuming it starts at birth, not a half-grown individual suddenly is a new person. So I'm taking it back to, being born as a baby. The love has to be there.
Yeah.
The love has to be there. But maybe the grief that you just said, Fran,
mm-hmm.
having, you need to be able, I don't know if you need to experience it, but maybe to be well-rounded, you need
well, that's what, I mean, to answer that woman's question, I mean, that baby, even in utero, served the purpose for which he or she chose to make happen, and
right.
that is to
create the love bond between the unborn child and the mother, which will continue when the mother crosses over too.
Right.
And really, the whole concept is it never stops. Just because the baby didn't survive through the birth or even died at a young age doesn't mean that love bond stops. You can have somebody die at 30, at 50. The love bond that you had with that living person doesn't stop, and so therefore it wouldn't stop with an unborn infant.
Right. So that baby, who may have been many, many other things in many different lives, do you think that the person in spirit chose to have a very, very short physical experience this time, that's all that they really needed to accomplish what they need to do you think that we set the time interval?
Possibly,
how long?
Possibly the baby just needed to be wanted and knew it was wanted, so it was like, okay, I've fulfilled.
I'm with Melissa on this. It's not a time interval. It's the fulfillment of one of the emotions that we experience here. And that may be what every soul needs to complete their palette. That you have to have experienced all these different kinds of emotions in order to become more enlightened a soul. And the more enlightened, that doesn't mean that an enlightened soul might not want to incarnate one more time. They may, on some level, feel that they want to re-experience this. You know, the way Tom had explained it, it's more like a game or a playground or something that's pleasurable to them, even though in our aspect we look at this and say, how can anybody want to come here just so that they're going to die? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because we're looking at it from the perspective of being in the physical world. We've totally been removed from any concept of what it feels like to live in the non-physical world.
Right.
So we can't look at it from their perspective, but if we would have that gift where we could suddenly do that for a moment or two, we would certainly have a complete understanding of what it means.
Well, another listener writes, if life is pre-planned before we get here, then is there such a thing as freak accidents that it's not in our pre-planned life on Earth? For an example, there are murders that take place. You know, could it be that you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Well, I think we've touched on this before, is that, yeah, we live in a world with free will. Mm-hmm. And we can make choices that may not be so healthy for us, and we may be in the wrong place at the wrong time, which would turn out to be the right place at the right time because we've completed what we came here for. So even though we had chanced the murder and we were murdered, not that it was necessarily scripted that that was going to be our exit, but because we finished, we get the opportunity. And you hear this a lot from the NDEers, the near-death experiencers. I was told, or they gave me the choice. I can stay there because I've completed what I've completed, or I could go back if I want to go back.
So on the assumption that we all have this purpose for which we incarnate into this physical body, do you think that the troubles that people have, these feelings of depression and disillusionment and maybe not fitting in and all these things that they usually get diagnosed with some fancy name and given medication for, do you think a lot of people may just feel this inner conflict of they know that there's something missing, that there's some, I guess what I'm trying to say is, are these people that are seeking their purpose and they can't find it? They know that there's like this nagging thing that keeps bothering them. They can't quite put their finger on it.
They may not even have a concept of that there's a purpose they're looking for.
No, they don't. Yeah, right. But they just know something.
And it creates depression.
Yeah.
They need meditation, not medication.
You know, I'm thinking about if taking in all that we've just discussed and choosing your incarnation. And I don't think this is unusual for myself, and I don't know in your family, Fran, but birth order may play a big part because I'm a middle child, and everything within my family dynamics keeps, I'm the middleman a lot. I didn't feel like I chose that, but I'm kind of always the one in the middle, sort of mediating and making peace. And I don't think that's just in someone's nature. And then someone will joke, well, you are the middle child. And it's like, so why do you say that? You know, is it a birth order? I have a wonderful book about birth order that I'll have to reread. But it all plays a part. So maybe when you reincarnate to learn certain lessons, that's a big part of it too. The parents you choose, the siblings you choose, where you live, as you mentioned. And then the birth order. So, again, to fulfill whatever you were here for. All of these little details, that's a lot.
And many people believe, and thus the phrase, like soul groups, you know, that we incarnate and move to spirit realm back and forth with people that surround us in a group, and that we're all working kind of towards the common goal of learning lessons not only for ourselves but for the group as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's an interesting concept too. It's really hard for a lot of people when we talk about purpose and meaning, especially if they've suffered a tragedy. When I know in my particular case, I wanted to punch you in the face if you said to me, "Oh, you suffered this tragedy because you needed to learn a lesson." I'd want to strangle them, you know. As I've gone through the years and learned more, I think I'm open to that possibility that this was part of a choice that I made and many people in my soul group made. So we want to go to the phones. We have another call.
Yes, we have another caller on line 3.
Hello, welcome to the gathering.
Am I the person?
You're the person. Welcome.
All right, thank you. Years ago, I read that the human body is actually mostly just space, and that if you were to take the actual mass or matter of a human body and put it all side by side, we'd be a dot of actual matter, but we're mostly just this giant energy field. So the question tonight was, why does spirit take on a human body? Maybe we're already spirit. Maybe we're just spirit having a spiritual experience. I'm curious to see what you think about that idea.
We agree. We are spiritual people. And I know we call it having a human experience, but I think you're correct. We're having a spiritual experience. It's to fulfill ourselves spiritually.
Yeah, well,
This issue's become more important to me. I just found out a month ago I have some rare form of leukemia, but I've been studying near-death experiences for a couple years and after death and all kinds of fascinating things. So with the thought of dying, I really want to face that with the idea that it's just going to be another adventure. And at the moment, I'm still healthy and I'm able to maintain that attitude. I hope I'll still have that attitude when it gets closer.
Yeah, and you know, from what many things that I've read and learned, that your beliefs and your state of mind actually affect your transition, you know, you'll ease the way, so to speak, and not have some of this bewilderment and disillusionment, you know, if you've learned about all these things and you've had certain experiences and you make it easy. You know, what you said earlier, I wonder if people in the spirit realm say, I'm going to come down to earth to have a spiritual experience. It's exactly what you're saying. They're looking at coming here to going to the spirit world, you know, which is pretty much exactly what you're
saying. I tend to look at us like waves of the ocean, and the wave crashes, and there's no doubt we could all agree, hey, that's a wave, that's a wave. It has an individual, you know, that's a wave. But really, it's all part of the ocean. So I just think we're all kind of in this interplay of I'll take on a body, I'll get rid of it, I'm going to be a baby, I'm going to be a man, I'm going to be a woman, I'm going to be a doctor. And it's just like a big game. It's fun, and we're all learning how to love in the process.
Yeah, but, you know, the evidence also shows, even though we move into this, you know, into this ocean, that we do retain, you know, memory.
Individuality.
Yeah, and it's not, at least not initially, I don't know if it ever is, you know, that we just meld into the greater consciousness. It seems, when you look at all the evidence from mediumship and, you know, near-death experiences and everything else, that not only do we retain memories, but we're able to participate and to affect people and communicate with people that are still in the physical. So, I agree. I mean, if you have that, the same principle as people that are in deep grief, you know, once they understand that they're just, you know, moving through the next door, and that you're not going to be extinguished forever, it makes it that much easier to move through your grief and to navigate your life. And you certainly seem to be well on that path. And I hope that you... actually, we hope that doesn't come for quite some time and that you recover nicely.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Can you tell us your name so we can be thinking about you?
Sure. My name is Brian. I've called a couple times before. I'm from Chico, California. I love your program. I hope it keeps going on for a long time.
Well, Brian, we're going
to... I have to say about living a long time is that even if we lived 1,000 years, I'm sure at that 1,000th year we'd think, boy, that went fast. So I know it's short for all of us. And
that's true.
My guess is that it's short for a purpose. It makes us appreciate it. I know since I got this diagnosis, every day is even more intensely wonderful. So it all working out.
Well, thanks so much, Brian. And we're going to add you to our healing prayer, and we hope that our combined thoughts and healing energies will make a difference.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
care.
Brian.
Bye-bye. And I guess we've been overdue for a break. So
I think we're overdue for a break.
All right. So we're going to go to a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk more, maybe answer a few more questions that the listeners have written in. Stay with us.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I'm Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Many people, just like you, hope that we continue to another existence after we die. It's a nice thought, but could it really be true? The answer is yes. There is an overwhelming amount of scientific evidence that tells us this is so. On July 29th, come hear medical doctor and university professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti as he shares a visual presentation of the life after death evidence at Long Island University in Brookville, New York. Dr. Parisetti, also a noted psychotherapist and bereavement specialist, and former humanitarian advisor to the United Nations, can show you how to turn simple hope into deep knowing. He will be joined in the second part of the evening by certified medium Laura Lynn Jackson, who will demonstrate spirit communication as further evidence of an afterlife. Advanced reservations are only $15 for members and $20 for non-members. For reservations and information, visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call 631-425-7707.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about our purpose and reincarnation, the purpose of spirits having a human experience. There are a lot of people that believe that, all right, so we have this plan, we have our purpose, we incarnate into this new body in the earth world. And then they also believe that there are many forces that are acting against us, you know, in this fulfillment of this purpose. Now, I don't know necessarily. I mean, you could call them, which I don't like the term, you know, evil forces. I think it's more in terms of, you know, there are trappings and
challenging
and
forces.
Well, there are enticements, and you know, there are many things put in our path to make us fall off the wagon, so to speak, and stray from our meaning. So, do you believe that? I mean, that's part of the process. You know, being able to stay true to your purpose and not succumb to all of these distractions?
That's a good point. Maybe so. But how do we know that? How do we know at birth that that's what we're supposed to be doing? I mean, maybe we do know it at birth, but then as we become acclimated to this very materialistic world, that no longer fits into it.
Well, that's what I think happened. I think that we come in here, I mean, I like to talk in terms of light, you know, so we come in as this baby, as you were talking about, Melissa, you know, just pure light, pure compassion, pure love. And we have a goal and we have a purpose. And then we
fall off the path.
Well, then we go, you know, then we go to school, and then we go to religious
I think
traditions.
Let's start with school. Yeah. School is the first place where they take away what is natural to you. They want you to start doing things logically. They want you to start looking at things from a physical perspective, whereas those 5 years before you got into this school, or four or three, because now the kids go earlier and earlier into whatever learning situation they're going to go into, and they lose their innocence because to them it's this wonderful world of love. Mm-hmm. And now it's get up, push your chair in, put the round pegs in the round hole, put the square pegs in the square hole. Well, if we create our own reality, why can't we continue putting the round pegs in the square holes?
And in the work I do in the daytime with children with special needs, that's what I'm supposed to be doing, is changing all of these unique individuals so that they become more typical or normal in the material world.
So now we lose focus of what our purpose is. And we live a physical life that really defeats, you know, what we came here for. So what happens then? After we die,
you're coming around again.
We're coming around again.
And I wonder at what point, with students, you know, they have a bad day, they don't earn their stars, they're not going to get the prize, but tomorrow's a fresh start. So I wonder how many fresh starts you can have. Like, is it all washed up at a certain point and it's like already it's written in the stars, they're coming around again? Or can you clean up your act and get back on track and fulfill the purpose? I mean, could there be a glitch along the way, but you still ultimately end up on that path again?
I don't think it's a glitch. I think that you're talking about when you're in your physical life and you're so far away from any spiritual connections or drive.
Or what you came here for.
Or what you even came here for, but you're still here, so.
But at what point then that was on your blueprint to fulfill? It's all, until you move on to your next life, it's all fair game. You'll just keep working towards that goal,
yeah,
with your free will happening. And
maybe that's what our guides or the people who have predeceased us or our angels or whatever you want to call entities on the other side that whisper those things in our ears, that give us direction, that tell us, don't go down that street, there's going to be an accident, and so you take a different route. They're there to put the person who's no longer on their track to fulfill what they came here for, get them back on track.
I like that.
So you think it's a collaborative effort, you know, between people in your group that are watching from the other side, so to speak, and guiding you in your physical incarnation to try to keep you, you know, on the path.
Right, and don't discount the fact that we very likely have multiple souls. So it could be our own soul on the other side that's watching out for us.
Right.
Why not?
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, another listener wrote in, a friend lost his brother recently and reported that the spirit seemed to have departed hours before death of his body. She didn't really have a question. She just said that it's interesting. And that's something that we people have been aware of for quite some time. You know, all the hospice workers and all the medical professionals.
We felt that with Tom's mom when we removed her from the house to go to the hospice, which was only about a 24-hour period that she was in hospice, but in her own home, we felt the spirit suddenly left.
Yeah. Sometimes it's visual, you know, sometimes it's a sense of presence. Sometimes, you know, it's people actually describe it in different ways, you know, smoke or vapor. Sometimes it's accompanied by physical movements. But clearly, a lot of people are sensitive to souls detaching from the physical body. And now it's time, I guess, to wrap up this conversation. And Fran, you want to lead the way?
Yes, I'd like to ask our listeners, and please, I know I read it quickly at the end of each show, but if everybody who's listening tonight can really put their energy into sending healing thoughts and prayers towards these people, I'd like to continue with our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Anne Hutchinson, Kimberly Saavedra, Rachel Sikandarian, Jeanette Davies, Marian Pierzga, Julie B., Christina DiDonato, Barbara Patillo, David Hayes, Rita Springer, Mark Farron, Vicki Steffi, Tim Donahue, Jean Lash, Tracy Lee Nash, Rita Dwyer, Eddie Roll, Karen, David Mello, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Stanley Mullen, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen Lafada, Wendy Lippo, Barbara Russell, Tom Donahue, Phil McKee, Gina DiDonato, Bobby Allison, Doug Berry, and Brian from Chico, California. And now, let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now, we say to our listeners,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.